Good morning and welcome to the Adult Sunday School. Pastor is still under the weather, so he's staying home. Jeanette's here. We have some other people who are under the weather too, and physically they're not doing that well, but their hearts are in the right place. May we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege and opportunity to be before your presence even now and throughout the day and the days to come. Lord, we have your word open. Our hearts are open. May you do what only you can do. We think of the other classes downstairs that you'd even minister to them, the teachers and the students. And those who are not able to come, our God, that you would even minister to them. Lord, make this a special time, a time that we can glorify and honor thee and love thee even more. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why should reading and believing the word of God be essential to us? Why? Why? There are many reasons why. I'm going to give you some of them today. And you probably will have other reasons why. And if you search in God's word, you'll find a whole bunch of reasons why. How do we approach the word of God? Suppose I told everyone in here to keep your Bibles closed. I'm just saying it. Keep your Bibles closed. And I would go to one person, read a verse to that person, so no one else could hear it. And that person would go to the next person in the pew and whisper that verse to that person, so no one else could hear. That person would go down and whisper to the next person. You'd only whisper what you were told, what you heard, not what you think the verse is, what you heard. And eventually, we went through everybody in the sanctuary. And then, oh, by the way, while that is going on, there would be distractions. A lot of distractions. Then the last person, I would ask them to come and tell us what they heard. Can you imagine what would happen? I did this two Saturdays ago when the men's fellowship and prayer time down in the basement. We had about 20 young men and men, teens, gathered with us down in the basement. We sat at a big table, and I asked them to exactly do that. Close your Bibles. They all closed the Bibles. And I explained to them what we were going to do. That one person would be given a verse, just like I told you. So, after I gave them the instructions, I asked them all to get up, go down to the stay in the basement, and spread out. Go somewhere away from anybody else. So they did that. We did it. One person was given a verse to read. I read a verse. That person read to another person. That person whispered to the next person. After they whispered to that verse, the person who whispered had to come back to the main table where we gathered at first and sit. The next person who was whispered to would go and whisper what they heard, not what they think. The verse said what they heard. And in turn, After they whispered, they would go back and sit. Eventually, everybody came back to the table. And I asked the last person, what did you hear? It was completely different. Completely different. And I asked the person who I was reading the verse to open their Bible and read the verse that was given to them. But I left out something. When the person, people were going around whispering the verses, I would flicker the lights in the basement, make noises. We had an individual that would go and talk, give a conversation to the person that was getting ready to be whispered to, cause a distraction. Very interesting what happened. You can imagine what would happen if we did that right now here in the sanctuary. Remember, it's not what you think the Bible says, that verse. It's what you heard. Completely different. How essential is for us to read God's word and to believe it? Very different from hearing and having somebody repeat it to you. How do we approach and receive the word of God? Do we come and open our Bibles, or when we're reading at home, wherever? Do we have distractions? Does our mind wander? Do we look out the window? Do we think about other things? Just like the verse that I gave to the person to read, very simple verse. We've heard it, I don't know how many times, a lot of times. Turned out different. The distractions cause us to interfere in our hearing and our understanding of what God is speaking to us. Distractions. Do we do that when we're here? Do our minds drift? Do we just don't pay attention at times, and we miss out? Do we come with preconceived notions of what God is saying in his word? And when someone tells us from God's word, we already have our mind set on what that person is going to say or what that verse means. But do we actually listen to the words that God is saying to us? Our old nature, oh, that old nature can do a number on us. That old nature that we have rattles the cages anytime God's word is read or spoken. Old nature says, no. And our old nature can play tricks on us. We have to concentrate on what God is saying. His word is essential. I had the men sitting there, and I pulled out some tinted sunglasses, and I put them on, and I said to them, it was a sunny day, suppose I looked outside at the blue skies. I wouldn't see the blue skies through those tinted glasses. I would see the skies, but it wouldn't be blue because I'm looking through tinted lenses. Do we look at God's word through tinted minds? Minds that are already set on what we're going to do or what we're going to believe. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and Before I tell you what verses we're going to read, do we let the cares of the world affect how we pay attention to God's word or what we think of God's word? We may have physical difficulties. We may think about what's going on in the world right now, over in the Middle East, Israel, things that are going on in our country, things that are going on at our job. And he calls us to take our minds off of what God is saying, what he wants to say to us. We don't pay attention because we're distracted. Our minds, our old nature can get in the way of this. We can be distracted easily if we don't focus on what God has to say to us. The cares of the world, the cares of the world. Every time you hear the news, there's something going on. There are protests. There are all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Mark 4, verses 14 through 19. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Cares of the world. The cares of the world. We carry them at times. We don't know it, but we do. We get distracted because our minds wander. How do you feel about the speaker that's speaking to you, bringing you God's word? Someone speaks to you. 14 years ago, to this very day, my wife passed on to be with the Lord. And I still have cards and a diary and things that she left behind for me to read. And they're very special. Those words haven't changed in those 14 years. Very precious. Her love letters, very precious. But you know what? This is God's love letter to us. His word, the Bible. His word doesn't change. His word does not change. Very personal. Consider the source when someone is talking to you or you're reading. Consider God's word. Very essential. At times, we only hear what we want to hear. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 28. This is the verse that we were given two Saturdays ago in the men's fellowship and prayer time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Many times we have heard that verse, many times, many times. But a lot of times you hear people only say, for we know that all things work together for good. And they stop. They don't finish the verse. To them that love God, you rarely hear that part. You rarely hear that part. And you don't even hear this part. To them who are the called according to his purpose, to his will. Not what I want, what he wants to his children, for his children. But you hear a lot of people say, oh, everything, all things work together for good. And they stop. They hear what they want to hear. And our old nature is going to say the same thing. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear the rest. I told you my background before I was saved. I only wanted to hear what I wanted to hear. You couldn't tell me anything. I was a big headache. Big one. And I told you, I'm so thankful I'm saved. It's amazing I'm saved. My background. And I shared with you before, when I was in school, I had a teacher tell me I was so disruptive and bad that I'd never amount to anything. Didn't bother me. I was going to show them what I could do. In the old nature, unsaved, I just went ahead and kept doing what I was doing. Took me approximately 30 years to go through some hard times in my life for me to see that I needed to be saved and did business at Calvary. I can tell you a lot of what not to do. And that's one of the things when I was teaching in some of the worst schools in Hartford, I loved it. That was my background. I could relate. Wasn't new. In fact, I thought some of the students, what they were doing was stupid. There's better way of what you could do, what you were doing, but I wasn't going to tell them. Wasn't my job to do that. God saved me from that. I was exposed to a whole bunch of stuff. My parents didn't have no idea what I was doing. My brother and I did a lot of stuff. I did even more. He didn't even know. And I'm not bragging about it. That's the background I had. And apart from Christ, I'd be the same way. Some of us cannot hear the Word of God or read the Word of God because we have physical problems. Our hearing isn't that good, some people. As you get older, your hearing declines, your vision declines, you can't read that well. So you have things that are contradicting what you want to do. But the Word of God doesn't change. When we don't hear everything, or we forget something, or we don't focus on what we've heard or what we've read, we try to fill in the gaps of what we think sounds good. So we can take a verse and read part of it and then fill in the other parts because we don't know. We try to fake it out because we really didn't pay attention. We only heard what we wanted to hear. If you don't receive the info or the Word of God directly from its source, it's a good chance that part of the message is going to be incorrect. Go to the source. If somebody tells you something, go to the source. If God says something to you, or somebody said God has said something to you, go to the source. Go to the Word of God. Go there. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, his word does not change. It's going to be the same. I can go back and read my wife's cards, letters, diary. Her words won't change. But after a while, that material will get old, deteriorate. But God's word doesn't change. We can count on him. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Our memory, times we can't remember things. We can't remember, so we try to put in words what we think happened. Go to God's word. His word doesn't change. You ever been in school? Well, I know you have. And you had to take tests. And you get to a certain question, and you say, wow, I can't remember. I can't remember. You can't answer the question correctly. You have difficulty. If you really want to know what God says, go to his word. Read what he says. Not only read it, believe what he says. Over and over again. Over again. Don't get to the point where you read a verse and you say, I've read that before, I got it. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have it. I was a knucklehead growing up. I'm still a knucklehead, but I'm saved knucklehead. And you couldn't tell me anything. I was one rebellious person. One rebellious person. But I could do the work. I could do the work. But you couldn't tell me anything. And it took me 30 years to get to the point where God dealt with me in a special way, only for me, his way. He knew how to get to me. And I surrendered on Calvary's cross. He died for me. You don't know exactly, and I'm not going to tell you all the things I used to do. I wasn't a nice person, only to certain individuals on my terms. But I was not what you see now. I'm completely different. He died for me. He died for everyone. He even died for Hamas. You think about Hamas, how cruel they are. Think about that. We're no different. He died for all of us. But he died for me too. I take it personal. Really, really, I do. He died for you too. But the thing is, he died for everybody, but not everybody has received him. What's the problem? You. I have done my business on Calvary's cross, and there's still room for more. Time's not up. So there's still the opportunity, if you don't know him, to do business with him, even today. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do we approach God's word that way? Do we approach God's word? We want God to show us where we're lacking and give us his understanding, not my understanding. Not my understanding. I don't want my thoughts. You don't want to hear my thoughts either. I want God's thoughts. I want his understanding. And if you are smart, right, that's what you want to, that's what you should want. Do we come with an open Bible but a closed heart? We open our Bibles, God's speaking to us, but our minds are drifting off, we're thinking of something else. We're not paying attention. We're not focusing on what God has to say. Our hearts are closed. What about our kids? Do they come with their Bibles? Do they come with their Bibles open? Do we love our kids? Do we point our kids to Christ? The Word of God is very special to me. If the Word of God is special to you, your kids should know it. You should show it. My kids are older now. They know how I feel about God's Word. They know. They know. It's up to them to decide on what they want to do with the Word of God. You know, your kids can sense if you're sincere about the Word of God, if you're true to Him. If it was icy outside, dangerous conditions, you would tell your kids, hey, be careful when if you go outside. God is telling us what to do. Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your unsaved loved ones? Are you the testimony that God would have you to be? Do we come with, at home, family altar, we have open Bible, but closed hearts? Kids know. Kids know. You can't fool them. When I was growing up, you couldn't fool me. You know, I thought I was fooling people. There was always somebody who was always smarter than me. Do you love what God is doing in your heart? Do you love what God is doing in your heart? If God is working in your heart, doing a tremendous work in your heart, you can't hide it. You can't hide it even if you try to. You can't. If somebody told you a hilarious joke, and it was one of the funniest things you ever heard, can you hide that? Could you hide that? No, you couldn't. You might try to close your mouth, but your body be shaking and carrying on. You want to burst out. Well, when God's working in your heart, whoo, you can't hide it. You can't hide it at all. Try to hide it. You can't. Why would you want to hide it, in fact? Why would you? Do you love what God wants to do in your heart? Do you love what He wants to do? How do you know what He wants to do? Go to His Bible. He's telling us what He wants to do. He wants to do it. Are we letting Him do that? Read and believe what He says. If you don't know it, you can't show it. If you don't know the joy of the Lord, you can't show it. If you don't know the love that God has for you, you can't show it. If you don't know the peace of God, you can't show it. You can talk about it. Actions speak louder than words. People know. It's almost like show and tell. Show and tell. You're showing and you're telling by your actions. Our hearts are prone to wander. That's an old nature. And we're going to have these old natures until we with the Lord. Prone to wander. Don't think you're indestructible, that you can do this on your own. You can't. Turn to Psalm 119. I'm not going to read the whole psalm to you. Psalm 119. Ooh, distractions. I didn't plan that, but it's very appropriate. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Oh, wait a minute. My mistake. That's why I said, follow the words of God. I was in the Word of God, but I was in the wrong, gave the wrong directions.
Verses 9 and 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. God said it in his word. We're prone to wander. We're prone to wander from his commandments. An old nature, tired of listening to what God has to say. Tired. I want to do my own thing. That's the old nature talking. I want to do my own thing. Tired. I've done enough. Give me a break. No, it's no break. One of the dangers of a wandering heart is being deceived, being duped, being deceived. Look at the world around us. The world today and what's headed down the road. God warns us. There are going to be things. There are things that are happening now. This is just a foretaste of what's going to happen. Don't be deceived. Matthew 24. In verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to come demonic powers. They're going to kind of try to influence you, to turn your back. Follow them. Our old nature is going to try to deceive us also. Let no man deceive you. You think God was playing when he said that? Or it's a theory? It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a truth. Let no man deceive you. Be aware that God is warning us. He's warning us. Not just saying it to be saying it. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. This is in the future. But we see the foretaste of it now. There are many people coming with theories saying that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I really think that the Antichrist is living now, but we don't know. We won't know. The Lord's going to take us out before that's revealed to the world. But there are many people who are coming in the future and now who are trying to deceive, saying they're the person to believe. They're the person to follow. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great wonders and signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is going to happen on tribulation. We won't be here. If you know the Lord, you won't be here. But there are a whole lot of things that are going on now that are shadow of things to come. We have artificial intelligence, AI. Very dangerous. If used the wrong way, very, very dangerous. But it can mix up a little bit of nicety with it. But behind the scenes, there's a plot. There's a plot. How are you going to know what's real and what's not real? Very simple. Read and believe the word of God. Artificial intelligence. That's just story right there when it says artificial. Don't you want sincere, real intelligence? True intelligence? Artificial? Come on. Mark 13. Verses 5 and 6, Mark 13, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Over and over, he's telling us this is going to happen. Be aware. It's not going to pop up all of a sudden, these things. The stage is being set. You hear a little there, a little here, a little there. Meanwhile, stage is being set. Because you're getting used to it. You're getting used to hearing these things. I remember back when we were growing up, a person got shot. It was like, wow. You know, like that was really something to see, hear somebody getting shot. Now it's almost common. People will say, well, you know, another person got shot, which is not lightly, taking it lightly. But that's the way we're conditioned to things if we hear it over and over again. Get into the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple one is the one that doesn't want to take God's word. Believe it. Think of what God has said. Many people are out here trying to deceive by good words and fair speeches. They're not going to come hating you. They're going to give you those nice, soft words. Smile and try to deceive you. When I was growing up, I didn't trust too many people. I saw a lot was going on, and I just didn't trust. It took me a long time to trust people, not until I came to know the Lord, to really trust anyone, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. Well, my wife. But the Lord Jesus Christ, really, really. And like I said before, to see me in a church wearing a tie, carrying a Bible, man, you. If you'd have told me that when I was back in junior high school, I said, you're crazy. Crazy. Absolutely. Furthest thing from my mind. Big joke. Mm-mm. Here I am, by the grace of God. He did that, not me. Not me. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. People out here trying to deceive you. The system's trying to deceive you, but there are people trying to deceive you also. And those people who are trying to deceive you are being deceived themselves. They don't think so, but they're being deceived by a bigger power, satanic power. And I told you my background too. I was into I won't even get into it. But I dabbled with stuff, and it shouldn't, by the grace of God, I didn't get too far into it. Took me out of it. But it's looking back, it's deadly, deadly. Comes out nice, starts out nice, but you get deeper into it, it's deadly, dangerous, dangerous. Get deep into the Word of God. You won't get dangerous. You'll be blessed. good words and fair speeches. Wow. I got you. If I can do this, deceive you with that, I got you. We can deceive our own selves. We can't say, well, the world, I'll fight, you know, the world's, the world, I'll watch out for them. I'll watch out for the neighbors. I'll watch out for these guys. I'll watch out for them. I'll do it. Well, turn to 1 John 1. We can deceive ourselves. First John 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Before I was saved, I didn't think I was a bad guy. I didn't get caught. So I figured, oh, I'm better than this guy over here. He got caught. I didn't get caught. I always had a lot of street smarts. You know, doesn't work with God. Doesn't work. Might work in the world, but eventually it's going to backfire on you. It's going to backfire. Why play games? Why play games? Play games with your soul. Why? Get right. Do business with God. Galatians 6. In verse 7, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't fool God, you can't dupe God in what you're doing. You can't. I don't care how smart you are, how much street smart you have, you cannot dupe God. You can't. You can come with your Bible open, pretend like you're reading, you're understanding. You're only fooling yourself. But look at the consequences. Whatever you do, and it's against what God says to do, they shall he also reap. Wait a minute. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap what you sow. It's not me talking. It's what God says. You can take the Bible, throw it away, tell your friends, and they laugh at you. It's not going to change. It's not going to change God's word. The whole world could be against God. Think God's going to change because the world says? No, no, no. God's word can change you if you let it. Titus 3. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I'm talking about myself. Does this apply to you? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The cross of Calvary does not get old with me. Very personal. I don't plan on doing any of this. I don't. But he's very personal to me. Very personal. I'm not the same person I used to be. And what I am now, I'm not going to be that later either. I'm going to be more like him. This is a work in progress. He's doing the work, not me. I mess it up. I get in the way. I get in the way. The scriptures guide us so as not to be deceived if we believe and obey. Turn to Acts 17. Verse 11. This is for the Bereans. That's what they did. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Don't be deceived. God has given us his word to believe and obey so that we won't be deceived. You have no excuse. Only you. You get in the way. I get in the way. We can be a knucklehead at times. What do we do with the word of God? Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. I have a wafer. I did this with the men also 2 Saturdays ago. I'm going to share it with you. I gave each of them a wafer, but I'm not going to give you one. It's a wafer bar. And the label says, peanut butter and jelly, Skippy wafer bar. And on the back, it has the ingredients. God has his word. He has ingredients in his word. But also, it has warnings on here. If you're allergic to milk, peanuts, soy, or wheat, don't take it. God gives us warnings in his word so we don't get this tricked, duped. This label on here says that inside of here is a peanut butter and jelly wafer bar. The wafer bar didn't put that label on it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're labeled. God put a label, the Holy Spirit of God. And if you were baptized publicly, you put a label on the can. You can't put that label on yourself, say you're a believer, and be legit. No. This wafer here did not put the label on itself. If you're a believer, God put that label on you if you're legit. Pardon me, but I'm going to take a bite out of this, and I'm hoping that it's a strawberry shortcake. You know what? It's just like the label said. It's peanut butter and jelly. It's not strawberry shortcake. What about yourself? Did God put that label on you? Or did you put that label on yourself? I didn't spit this out. I let this peanut butter and jelly wafer go into my body and do what it's going to do. When I read God's word and let God do that work in my heart, I'm not going to tell him what to do. All I'm going to do is believe. I'm going to believe him and let him do what he's going to do. Turn to Psalm 119. We'll close with this. And in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love God's love letter to you? Do you love God? Are you letting him love you? We'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again that you are present all the time. May we continue to look into your word and let your word do what only your word can do. Thank you again. As we read your word, may our hearts burn. May you give us a heart burn for your word. When we open the scriptures and open our heart, we think of the messages to come today and the days to come that our hearts will continue to burn. Do that work. Speak to us. And may we get out of the way and let you be the great I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.